Good morning. It is 10 o'clock, and we are going to call the post-council meeting to order. I want to welcome all of the council members, all of post staff, and all of the guests who are here today. Mayor Troy Walker has asked to be excused from the meeting today, so we'll excuse him. And we want to welcome Colonel Greg Hawley, who is joining the post council. So congratulations on your appointment, new position, and welcome to the council. We're glad you're here. Thanks for being here. And also recognize Spencer Turley, who is here for the Department of Corrections as proxy for Jared Garcia. So welcome, Mr. Turley. First item on our agenda is approval of the September 16th, 2025 minutes. Any council members had an opportunity to review the minutes? Would like to take a motion for approval of the minutes. Motion from Chief William for approval. Second. We have a second from Sheriff Wimmer. All in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And are there any opposed? Very good. Thank you. We'll move into the quarterly reports. I would actually like to start with Lieutenant Buck first. And then Captain Newland.
Good morning. For this past quarter, the post basic training statistical reports is as follows. We have graduated 91 LEOs with 45 scheduled to graduate on 12/18. We have 117 SFOs along with 31 dispatchers. For our upcoming training academies, we have an academy that is, well, we currently have 389, which is in session right now and graduates on 12/18, and 390, which just began their LEO block today, and there are 44 cadets in that academy. We have our next academy will begin on January 12th, and it is the full academy with 50 students. For this past quarter for in-service training, we had 40 in-service classes offered, totaling 570 hours of in-service. Any questions? Thank you.
Morning, Council. Quarterly update for investigations for September 1st, 2025 to November 30th, 2025. We received a total of 100 complaints, opened 44 investigations, conducted two administrative hearings. We closed 10 of those cases with no action following investigation. So again, if we're doing the quick math, that's we're opening about 44% of the complaints that we receive into actual cases. Most of the complaints we receive from agencies that are forwarded, we're opening almost all of those. So a lot of the complaints that we're receiving are from citizens, and so a lot of those are actually being forwarded back to the agencies for internal affairs investigations. We received 8 voluntary relinquishments in this quarter, one for dishonesty and violation of department policy, one for lying under Garrity, sexual conduct on duty, prejudicial conduct against another, dishonest and violation of department policy, two more for falsification of government record, another for lying under Garrity and sexual conduct on duty, one for patronizing a prostitute, distribution of a controlled substance and DUI, intoxication and property damage, one for DV criminal mischief, one for burglary, theft, a grammar violation, and prohibited items in a correctional facility. For our cases, our average days open for this quarter was about 109 days. And again, if you remember our past meetings, we're slowly getting that back down. Our goal has been 180. If we include criminal cases for all of 2025, those cases that are we're waiting for criminal processes, our average is about 250 days. So we are still coming down. When I took over for Lieutenant Moore, we were about in the 300s. So we are moving in the right direction. For applicants or application reviews, we had 271 applications reviewed for basic training, 24 for dispatchers, and 27 applications for waivers reactivations. Current caseload for investigations is 72 open investigations, 53 active, and I'd say, what do you guys say, about 12 each, roughly? About caseload 12 per investigator. So questions on investigations? Thank you.
Thank you, Captain.
Okay. All right, next agenda item, may I move ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay. I want to apologize. Mr. Jacobs is not here. He has a family emergency. I'm just going to ask that we get a diagram put up on the screen here. We talk about kind of where we're headed. I'm not going to speak to this as eloquently as Mr. Jacobs would, but I'm sure going to try. Okay. So, as many of you guys have probably heard from the director, he and Mr. Jacobs, they've got kind of a vision based on emergency medical technician on EMT training. One of the things that we are trying to do, and we are on course to doing, is we have a goal for a go-live date of July 1 of 2026, where we're doing a pretty significant revamp of basic training. If you're familiar at all with EMT training, there's usually some foundational training that goes into before you go into the actual certification training. We're kind of going down that paradigm. So what we're looking to do is to move a lot of our SFO courses online, and that could be done in an asynchronous, entirely online, synchronous online, hybrid, both online and in person with the satellites if they so choose to do so. But we're trying to make the a lot of the academic things a lot easier for cadets to get. One of the goals with this, and again, Major, correct me if I'm saying anything out of line there, but in the future, hopefully a couple of years down the line, we want this to be available to anyone. We almost want this foundational course to be a prerequisite to hiring, a prerequisite to any training at the academy. I think we're looking for concurrent enrollment with high schools based on the ages. I think we're looking for colleges being able to offer these courses. We're looking for just kind of to cast a wider net to make recruitment and training a little bit easier. But with this foundational online course, we are working on moving a lot of these courses online. That's what the curriculum team has been tasked with doing primarily over the next 6 months. As far as the council goes, I think in our March meeting, what we want is we're going to have a lot more of the actual nuts and bolts of the curriculum sort of fleshed out. At that point, we'll probably be engaging a lot of the curriculum committee to kind of vet this, get it to subject matter experts, and make sure that it's in line with what the council and the public want. In our June meeting, I think once we get this up and running, as we get closer to a deadline, we would ask for a vote on the actual implementation of it from the council. But at this point, we are working on moving everything to foundational course online. Once that's on, there would be a written assessment that could be proctored either here at Post or at the satellite academies that are used to giving written assessments anyway. Once the candidate has that foundational course in their resume, so to speak, they could then apply for and go to any of these three blocks here. One of the things we're hoping to do is sort of branch off SFO. If someone wants an SFO-only certification, which is pretty rare, right now we've got constable's offices, Salt Lake County has their public safety bureau, but there really aren't too many just pure SFOs. There is some talk about some of the guardians moving to SFOs, but that's jurisdictionally, that depends on where they're going. So SFO could be offered by satellite academies or sheriff's offices that want SFO-onlys or want to offer that training. But here at Post, we would slowly, I'm going to correct me if I'm wrong on this vision, Major, but slowly Post basic here would move out of SFO training, hopefully almost entirely as the years go by. Then LEO would be moving towards more of a competency-based model, which is more hands-on practice, more reps, less academic, less written assessments. Same thing for BCO. And because LEO and BCO involve so much more training than just an SFO certification, we envision that if someone goes through the foundational course, passes the written assessment, and moves on to LEO or BCO, we would also issue an SFO in addition to the LEO and BCO. So that is kind of the path we want to take. Like I said, I think in March, in our spring meeting, we want to move to engaging the curriculum committee with Post Council. And then I think we'd be looking for our summer meeting, roughly in June, for a vote on implementation come the next fiscal year. Questions, comments, concerns? Yes, ma'am.
You talked about possibly running it through the high schools as well as colleges. If you do that, will there be a pilot type high school or one of the agencies in the towns that will be proctoring, mentoring? That's
the high schools. I think a little further down the road. I may actually defer to Dr. Sween because she's been working closely with John on this. I think we're looking for colleges specifically, and I think specifically our satellite institutions at the rollout. But I think the Major's vision is to get as wide a net as possible. So I imagine there would be a pilot program, but we haven't, I think, even gotten that far down the road yet.
Well,
I know kids of interest in high schools, at least, they do a lot of ride-along.
Yeah.
If they're interested in the profession, with parent permission and all of that stuff. So I think it'd be a great idea to get them when you can.
And I can chime in and kind of clarify. We're looking at the potential for concurrent enrollment,
yep.
which is essentially yep. they're able to get college credit while in high school.
That's perfect.
So I think that's maybe step two and down the road a little bit.
Okay.
And I'll just chime in if John's comfortable to share. So Weber State University has secured a grant to assist with this. And so I did so personally. So we'll be helping with the curriculum development, the assessment. We'll utilize WSU Online, which they're great with online pedagogy. So we're going to partner together, and I secured a grant to contribute to this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be very grateful for the subject matter experts. So I think it'd be good.
Christian,
yeah.
Really kind of the EMT model came in is right now there's criminal justice concurrent enrollment that kids can take, but all it is some general credits for a university, where EMT, they're getting that concurrent enrollment class, and that when they turn 18, they can get certified if they pass the test. So we're hoping to give just more motivation for them, more benefit of taking the criminal justice route and concurrent enrollment. And then ultimately, I believe it's probably going to be about a 3-week class full time. It was full time. And those would be 3 weeks that we could use otherwise and actually shorten up. And also SFO is separated out. Right now SFO, it's a little too generic for the people that are SFO only. It doesn't suit their job. So we're going to try and make a SFO course that'll actually benefit them to their needs. And then meanwhile, we can still blend that in with BCO and LEO and shorten up the total time. The LEOs most of you are hiring when they're coming here, they'll be a few weeks shorter and still getting the same training. It'll be a smoother blended from day one. That's a little more efficient.
That's the hope, yeah.
One more thought, too, just to contribute. The bigger vision is, it's kind of a flipped pedagogy in how you learn it. So a lot of the online is sort of front-loaded, you know, and it frees up the ability when you are in the classroom to really do more application and skills and tactical. So.
Yeah. And I think as far as nuts and bolts of rollout, I think once we get the vote from the council to do this, we would do this first at post before we move it out to any of the satellites.
So I think we'd kind of spearhead it here first before we move that out to other agencies or other satellites. Yes, sir.
So LEO and BCO, the time frame they're enrolled in that is same?
Essentially, we're same
hours and time it takes for the guys to get through the LEO and BCO blocks is what it is now.
Right yes. now, oh. yes.
Yes, and then if someone's coming to the start to go LEO, compared to currently doing the SFO and LEO, it'll actually be shorter, you know. Yep.
Yeah.
I have the flexibility of that concurrent enrollment, ideally, the foundational training. Ideally, majority of your candidates applying will have completed this. It'll give you some type
yes.
of measure to see where they're at, what they're doing. They've got a little skin in the game before you're, or... You know, if the recruitment's the point where you want to open it to guys who don't have that, you could be onboarding them while they're doing that before they come to the academy.
Yeah. So, yes, with the foundational course, it should shorten it by about 3 weeks. But the 3 weeks in SFO, we would be moving to LEO as just more room for practice. But, again, if we make it foundational and online or prerequisite, there's a lot of options for agencies. It should be a net reduction, I think. Other questions?
Date that this will launch?
I think the major's planning for July 1, 2026, for at least piloting it at post.
The doctor and the curriculum experts are telling me they can do it.
Other questions? All right, thank you.
Hey, the next item on our agenda is the LEMHWA grant, Chelsea Nelson and Dr. Rosick. Thank you for being here.
Hello, thank you, Council. So the LEMWA grant is a grant that we got through the DOJ COPS office to better integrate wellness into our curriculum and kind of update our officer wellness and mental health curriculum here at the Academy. So what we have done is through the last couple of sessions, we have started some of that integration process. And really what we're looking to do is to give cadets more practical tools and the ability to practice being able to de-escalate themselves, to figure out what's happening if things are going wrong mentally for them, also to be able to recognize that in other people. So we have, we're not adjusting hours as we do this, but we are trying to integrate wellness tools into more areas of the Academy. Specifically, we have been looking at PT and DT as we start the rollout of integration. We are also looking to get feedback from instructors, so we have sent out a survey to all of our post instructors and also all of our Academy instructors to get their feedback on the current wellness curriculum and where they think we could improve that as well. And then Dr. David Rozek is going to talk more about the specific tools that we've been rolling out.
Everybody, I'm David Rozek. I'm a clinical psychologist by training. I like to say that. And I know we have an academic in the room, so I'll hide that I'm an academic now. But you have heard the common theme today about curriculum. Our goal here is to take kind of gold standard things that we know in psychology and wellness, and instead of like having this nice textbook and you go read it, how do you actually apply it? And so we are helping cadets make kind of a wellness plan in a way that's very tactical. So has anyone ever had a crappy day before? Right? It's hard to problem solve when you're stressed, and the Academy brings on different stress, and then when they get on the job, it's a little bit different stress. So we're setting them up to have a plan that they actually have made and then practice throughout the Academy in different areas. So it fits very nicely with kind of how the curriculum is progressing and can fit very easily in foundational pieces, but then if they could make this muscle memory when they get on the job, it doesn't matter what department they come or go to, they have a foundation from post and wellness. So that's really our goal. I thank Terry Buck for all of his help on this, as well as the curriculum team. But we're really excited to roll this out. The feedback from the academies that we have started piloting has been really positive. So we're really excited to hear that from cadets. They're not just like, oh, here's another wellness thing, because we hear a lot about wellness nowadays. But they're actually taking surveys weekly, showing an increasing number of wellness activities, and actually using it. So I like to see people use things that we teach them rather than just be able to pass a test. So we also have, Chelsea mentioned the instructors. They've also asked for more tools that are actually applicable. It's great to, again, have some of the foundation, but we think we're going to be able to kind of cover a lot of what's wanted by many people and give cadets and officers kind of tools to use throughout their whole career. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate you being here. Any questions?
Council, I just want to add that this grant was also what allowed us to host just, I think it was 80 of our instructors throughout the state to the Forest Science de-escalation instructor course several months ago. It was through this grant.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is our EVO curriculum, Director Reese.
Oh, boy. I wasn't ready. I can speak from here, right?
Sure.
We've had to make some adjustments, and we're constantly evaluating what we're doing and ways to improve it, but also with the challenges out to the EVO range, with it restricting, we committed to expanding our classes, and then right after we did that, we lost a good chunk of the range that we were going to be able to use. So that forced us and our EVO team met with the curriculum committee and came up with a plan. Our biggest challenge really is if we kicked everyone else off the range, we could still run as we were, but then no agencies would have access to the range. So the bottom line is we've had to reduce the EVO training down by 14 hours is what we're looking to get, what we're proposing starting in January, which will free up time for other the agencies to get on there. Everything that we have taught in the past will still be in there. Curriculum members working with the EVO team from the initial plan. We were going to totally remove the skills cone course, but they've been able to figure out how they're going to keep it in. Right now, what we don't know is we're going to be evaluating how we're going to evaluate that. They're going to get trained on it, but we had a very high standard on that skills course in the past. If any of you have had the experience of going through, I just think back my first time I went to the skills course in the academy, and the instructor was pointing to what looked like a wall of cones to me and telling me to turn there. And I'm going, there's nowhere to turn. I think it's value. I found it valuable. Learned a lot of, we all know a lot of our accidents are tight turns and backing, et cetera. But I learned a lot about spatial awareness and such. But our standard has been very high at POST, where you have to go through a complex course under time and you can't touch a cone. And under this new curriculum, we are definitely not going to be able to hold to that standard. At the same time, as we reevaluate and challenge ourselves where we're at, I'm not sure it was the best use of our time. We were spending a lot of time getting people through that high standard. And so while we're going to still get time practicing those skills, we're not sure what the test is going to look like. But that's been, eventually, hopefully we get a better facility with more capacity and we'll be able to keep things back in there. But the core, all the core functions will be there. It'll just be a little bit tighter time and the et cetera. Any questions?
Just a comment.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of that standard. I had a hell of a time passing.
That's exactly why we need to keep it.
You're not alone, Sheriff. You're not alone.
And, you know, it's hard. You know, we're always measuring. We want the academy to be challenging, and we want it to mean something to pass. But sometimes as our team evaluated, we found we were spending way too much time trying to get people through that standard. And I don't like calling you saying your cadet didn't pass because they hit a cone. So thank you. Thanks for confirming.
Thank you, Director. Appreciate that. That takes us to our disciplinary cases. So I'd like to turn time over to Attorney Keenan Price to present the disciplinary cases.
Zachary Allen, a post-certified law enforcement officer with the West Jordan Police Department, was criminally investigated for reckless driving with a road rage enhancement and DUI. Allen drove recklessly and caused a traffic accident with another vehicle. The officer investigating the accident detected an odor of an alcoholic beverage coming from Allen while Allen was lying on the stretcher in the ambulance. Allen refused to participate in standardized field sobriety tests because he said he was sober and injured from the accident. Allen was later arrested for the offense in question. He provided breath and blood alcohol samples, which were below the legal limit. A prosecutor later declined to file a DUI charge against Allen due to the results of the chemical samples. However, at the time of the notice of agency action, the prosecutor planned to file a charge of reckless driving against Allen without the road rage enhancement. Allen was found to have violated several West Jordan policies as a result of the agency's administrative investigation. Allen's employment with West Jordan was later terminated. As a result of POST's investigation, Allen could not be shown to have driven under the influence of alcohol. He was, however, found to have engaged in reckless driving without a road rage enhancement. On November 4, 2025, Allen waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Jensen, are you representing Mr. Allen? And is Mr. Allen here?
Hi, I'm J.C. Jensen on behalf of Mr. Allen. He is not here. He apologizes for that. He did want me to extend his gratitude to Post for their investigation. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. He is here. Come on up. We did want to extend our gratitude to Post for their investigation. I believe my client does have something he'd like to say to you.
Good morning, counsel. I guess this is kind of an opportunity for me to speak on behalf of a little bit of context, I guess, of the wreck itself, and I'll just leave it at that. I'll try to calm my nerves while I explain that and keep it short. I was driving down 201 eastbound. There were two lanes. I was in the left lane, and I had somebody following behind me at an extremely unsafe distance. I couldn't see half of their windshield beyond my rearview mirror. So I assumed that, like most people do in Utah, they wanted to get by me in the fast lane. So I moved over, and they swerved over behind me and stayed riding my butt. So I assumed that they were going to just continue to do that. I thought they wanted to pass, and then it became a problem. I started to worry. That's not normal. Typically, people will try to pass. So when I moved over, they swerved over, stayed behind me. I moved back over into the left lane again, and because I was going like 10 under the speed limit behind another car. So I moved back over. As soon as I moved back over, there was another vehicle in front of me that began slamming on their brakes. And I don't know if it's because they saw what that car was doing behind me, but I basically found myself in a situation where the car in front of me was slamming on his brakes, brake checking me. I almost hit the back of him because he hit so hard on his brakes. The car behind me was still riding my butt. So my instant thought was that maybe they knew each other. That's a crappy situation to be in. I had a left lane open up, so there became a third lane on the left. I moved into that lane to try and pass that Bronco in front of me. That Bronco floored it and was blocking my pass. And I didn't realize at that moment, with everything going on, the chaos, the left lane ended. It was a merge lane. So I had tried to get over, and the Bronco continued racing up to block me and forced me off the road into the dirt. And I tried to save myself, and when I came back up into the lane, he hit my right rear fender, and he pit maneuver. He performed a beautiful pit maneuver on me, and I went off the road into a river. So I'm lucky to be alive. I'm grateful to be alive. So I'm just happy that I'm here to talk to you guys. Whatever happens, I gracefully accept, because I'm just grateful to be alive. So it was a huge eye opener. Life is very short. Being what we have left, it's still current, is very active right now for me with the this new reckless driving charge. But I could understand. I waived my right to the hearing because I could understand how the witness that explained what she saw. I mean, I could understand it was a disaster, it was a mess, and I could understand how she perceived that I engaged in that behavior. I was doing everything I could to get away from these two people, and I'm not an angry person, I'm not a mean person, I was trying to get away from a really nasty situation of two different people behind me and in front of me. It was not a good experience, but like I said, I wanted to keep it short. I'm grateful to be here, I'm grateful for you guys, for what you do, and I'm sorry that you have to deal with me and in this matter, but I'll leave it at that. I digress. Thank you.
Mr. Jensen, anything further? Any questions, council members? We looking for a motion on the matter then?
I'll make a motion to accept.
A motion to accept Post recommendation for a 6-month suspension from Sheriff Wimmer. Do we have a second?
A second
from John Crowley. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes.
The next matter before the Post Council is the certification of Damian Draper. Damian Draper was investigated by Post for willful falsification of any information to obtain certification. The investigation discovered that on November 24th, 2024, Draper submitted an application to attend a basic training at a satellite academy. Draper did not document any marijuana use on the Post application. On January 6, 2025, Draper participated in a verification of application class and did not disclose any marijuana use on his addendum. On April 14, 2025, Draper graduated basic training with his special functions and law enforcement officer certifications. On or about September 5, 2025, Draper applied for a job as a law enforcement officer with a local agency. While completing the application for that agency, Draper disclosed that he had used marijuana. On September 11th, 2025, Draper wrote a memorandum to Post stating that he had used marijuana as a juvenile. Draper was contacted by Post and said the local agency asked the question, "Have you ever used marijuana?" Draper said that the question made him remember that he had used marijuana as a juvenile. Draper was asked about the question on the Post application that asks if he had ever used marijuana. Draper said, "I messed up." Draper said he did not remember the marijuana during the VOA class or any of the law enforcement classes he took during basic training. Draper said he used marijuana on two occasions when he was 15 years old. Draper said both incidents happened in a friend's basement. The first time Draper did not feel any effects. The second time he smoked marijuana, he believed that it was laced and he thought he was going to have to go to the hospital. Draper said he smoked the marijuana after being told that it was marijuana. On November 19th, 2025, Draper waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Post? Is Mr. Draper or attorney for Mr. Draper present? Seeing none, then bring it back to the council for motion.
I'll make a motion to accept Post recommendation.
And I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion from David Peterson to accept Post recommendation 1-year suspension, seconded by Sheriff Curtis. We need to add to that motion the dates of the suspension. And I guess the question is, when would that start?
Is not employed or seeking to renew an active certification, the officer may receive credit for the time served from the date of the involvement in the conduct or the date of conviction, whichever is later. So I would suggest that it would be the date that he came clean about his past use. Yep.
September 11th, 25. That's the date that he wrote the memorandum to Post.
And the date of the memorandum was
September 11th, 2025.
So, make that motion, Mr. Peterson, that yes. The suspension would start on September 11th, 2025 for 1 year. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? Thank you.
Right. The next matter before the council is a certification of Christian Elias. There are aggravating circumstances being that there were multiple offenses and Post is seeking a revocation. Christian Elias, a certified law enforcement officer with the Payson Police Department, was administratively investigated for sexual battery, sexual conduct while on duty, and biased conduct. He was found by Payson Police to have engaged in sexual harassment and unlawful conduct. Elias resigned as a result of the investigation, and his case was referred to Post. During Post's investigation, Post determined Elias touched two female co-workers' breasts and also touched one of the co-workers' buttocks. As a result of Post's investigation, Elias was found through clear and convincing evidence to have committed sexual battery and forcible sexual abuse. He was also found to have engaged in sexual conduct while on duty. The case was referred for criminal investigation, and the investigation was active at the time of the notice of agency action. Elias failed to respond to the notice of agency action on October 21st, 2025, and order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Mr. Elias.
Any questions for Post? Is Mr.
Has there been an update on the, I know this says that a criminal investigation is ongoing. Do you have an update on whether
we don't have an update at this time.
Okay. Is Mr. Elias or attorney for Mr. Elias present? Seeing none, back to the council for a motion.
Or post recommendation and revocation.
Chief Willem. Chief Willem motions to accept post recommendation for revocation, seconded by Chief Swanson. Is there any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
All right, the next matter before the council is a certification of Hernan Escobar with the Utah Department of Corrections. Post is seeking a letter of caution. On April 24th, Hernan Escobar, a corrections officer with the Utah Department of Corrections, was investigated by an outside agency for discharge of a firearm within city limits. The investigation discovered that on April 4th, 2025, Escobar negligently discharged a firearm in his basement bedroom while attempting to disassemble the handgun. The bullet went through multiple walls and entered a neighbor's occupied home. On October 16, 2025, Escobar completed the terms of his pretrial diversion agreement, provided $3,200 of restitution, and completed a firearm safety course. The criminal charges were dismissed, and the mitigating circumstances were he was forthcoming to police and supervisors.
Mr. Turley will be recusing himself in this matter. Are there any questions for other council members for Post? Is Mr. Escobar or his attorney present? Seeing none, come back to the council for a motion.
I make a motion to accept post recommendation of a letter of caution.
Chief Adams makes a motion to accept post recommendation, seconded by Dr. Sween. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Yeah, that motion passes.
All right. The next matter before the council is the certification of Todd Goodsell, a Salt Lake City police officer. There were no mitigating circumstances, and the aggravating circumstances were multiple offenses. Todd Goodsell, a post-certified law enforcement officer with Salt Lake City Police, was administratively investigated for being dishonest in violation of department policy. Goodsell was later found to have instructed another officer to delete text messages and lie about how he learned about the information. Goodsell was found by Post to have answered questions untruthfully under Garrity, both during the Salt Lake Police internal investigation and the Post investigation. On September 18, 2025, a hearing was held before the administrative law judge. The administrative law judge subsequently issued findings of fact and conclusions of law stating Goodsell violated Utah Code Annotated 53.6.211 as outlined in the Notice of Agency Action.
Are there any questions for Post?
I have a quick question. It looks like that Salt Lake took a year to complete this IA. Did they have the same findings as far as lying under Garrity? Because it looks like they gave him a four-day unpaid suspension after their investigation. So is there a difference in opinion on him lying under Garrity to Salt Lake, not to you?
Sir, as far as I understand, Salt Lake City doesn't have a policy outlining Garrity violations. So they did sustain a dishonesty violation. But under the circumstances of the interview, it would have been a Garrity violation.
Understood. Thank you.
Is Mr. Goodsell or his attorney present? Seeing none, come back to the council for a motion.
Motion to accept the recommendation of Post.
Stuart Young, motion to accept the post recommendation for revocation. Do we have a second to that motion? John Crowley is a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Yeah, that motion passes.
All right. The next matter before the council is the certification of Lachey Makuakane from Metro Dispatch. She is certified as a dispatcher. Mitigating circumstances are that she was a tertiary aggressor and there are no aggravating circumstances. Lachey Makuakane and her boyfriend were having drinks with a co-worker and his friend at a club. Makuakane's boyfriend got into the altercation with a co-worker. Makuakane and the boyfriend were told to leave the bar. Because of the dispute, the bartender called the police. As the responding officer arrived, dash cam footage showed Makuakane and the boyfriend in the parking lot outside the club. In a few seconds of footage, Makuakane is seen approaching a person, later identified as the boyfriend, and swinging at him with her right hand and hitting him on the head. The responding officer cited Makuakane for assault, and she later pled guilty to the charge when she appeared in court. Makuakane failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on November 4th, 2025, order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Ms. Makuakane.
Thank you. Are there any questions for post? Is Ms. Makuakane or attorney present? Appears not. Come back to the council for a motion.
She's still employed.
Still employed, so any suspension would be effective starting today.
And just my mention, though, doesn't mean that she won't still be employed, because by state law, dispatchers do not have to be certified. Most choose to, but that's not a state law requirement.
That may be a departmental issue whether they retain her.
Correct.
Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to accept post recommendation.
Thank you, John Crowley, with motion to accept post recommendation for a 9-month suspension, which would begin today. Do we have a second for that motion?
Second.
David Peterson, second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Tomas Peña Riano. He is employed by the Salt Lake County Constable's Office, and the aggravating circumstances are that there were multiple offenses. Tomas Peña Riano was investigated by a local police agency for impersonation of a peace officer. The investigation discovered that on March 17, 2025, Peña Riano was placed on suspension by his agency. On March 18, 2025, Peña Riano approached an individual and identified himself as a law enforcement officer. On March 19, 2025, Peña Riano's supervisor spoke to the investigators and stated Peña Riano had been suspended and did not have any law enforcement authority. Peña Riano was arrested. On March 21, 2025, Peña Riano was still incarcerated in the local jail when he resigned from his employment. On March 24th, 2025, Peña Riano was released from custody. Peña Riano found the sheriff of the local agency and identified himself to the sheriff as a law enforcement officer. Peña Riano was arrested. On March 26, 2025, Post issued an emergency suspension of Peña Riano's peace officer certification due to his mental health and subsequent behavior. Peña Riano's department had reported that they wanted Peña Riano to submit to a fitness for duty evaluation prior to his resignation. It was reported that Peña Riano was having visionary and auditory hallucinations. On September 9th, 2025, Peña Riano entered a guilty plea to be held in abeyance to one count of impersonation of a police officer under Utah Code Annotated 768512, a Class B misdemeanor. During a Garrity interview with Post, Peña Riano admitted to showing his constable badge and identifying himself as a law enforcement officer to a citizen. Peña Riano also admitted that he identified himself as a law enforcement officer to the local sheriff. Peña Riano admitted these incidents occurred after being suspended and resigning.
Is Peña Riano or counsel for Peña Riano present? So on occasion, the council has recessed into a closed session in order to discuss matters dealing with mental health.
Only if we have questions,
but it would be a matter of motion if anybody chose to do that. Seeing no motion, are there any questions for Post?
I'll ask the question. So if we went with Post recommendation for an indefinite suspension, that would require him to complete a fitness for duty evaluation before it would be reinstated. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
But it would also mean that there would not be any time requirement. So where the criminal violation would normally likely result in a suspension of some time, the fitness for duty evaluation could be done and reinstated sooner.
With that, I'll make the motion to accept Post recommendation of indefinite suspension.
I'll second.
Chief Willem for a motion to accept the indefinite suspension as recommended by Post, seconded by Stuart Young. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Michael Rabb, a Salt Lake County Sheriff's Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, Post is seeking a 3-month suspension. Michael Rabb, a post-certified law enforcement officer with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, was administratively investigated for violating the BCI user agreement. Rabb was found to have engaged in the conduct by his agency. He subsequently resigned. Rabb was criminally investigated for the BCI violation. He later pled guilty to attempting to commit the violation, a Class C misdemeanor. Rabb's plea was to be held in abeyance. As a result of the investigation, Post was able to prove through clear and convincing evidence that Rabb committed a BCI violation. Rabb waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Are there any questions for Post? Is Mr. Rabb or attorney for Mr. Rabb present? Appears not. Then back to the council for a motion or discussion.
I'll make the motion to accept Post recommendation for 3-month suspension.
Okay, Sheriff Curtis moves to accept Post recommendation for a 3-month suspension. That suspension would start on March 6th. Of 2025, Sheriff Curtis?
I think May 30th.
Or, so it's put on paid admin leave on the 6th of March. Did he,
looking at either of those dates.
Do we know if he came back to work in between that time?
Typically, you can't exercise police powers when you're on admin leave, so I'd say let's go with the 6th, March 6th.
Good either way.
So a motion to accept Post recommendation for 3-month suspension beginning on March 6th of 2025. Do we have a second for that motion? Sheriff Wimmer seconds that motion. Do we have discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Austin Rainford. Post is seeking a 2-year suspension, and there are no mitigating or aggravating circumstances. Austin Rainford was investigated by a local police agency for child abuse and property destruction or damage. The investigation discovered that on multiple occasions in the last 2 years, Rainford had been involved in verbal arguments with his wife and caused damage to the wall, doors, and a cabinet of the house they are renting. On July 31st, 2025, Rainford entered a guilty plea to the charge of property damage or destruction under Utah Code Annotated 76-6-106.1, a Class C misdemeanor. On September 29th, 2025, during a Garrity interview with Post, Rainford admitted that he damaged the residence he was renting while being involved in verbal arguments with his wife. Rainford failed to respond to the notice of agency action on November 17th, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Mr. Rainford.
Are there any questions for Post? Chief Swanson?
Was he ever placed on leave? Or was he working this entire time until he was terminated?
Sorry, part of the Post. I reached out to his agency to find out about his administrative leave. They never responded to me. The incident that he was investigated for was 3 months prior to that, so if he was, it wouldn't have been a long. But I never got an answer from his agency.
Can we get some clarification on the child abuse or charge or whatever that was?
There was an allegation of it that was not substantiated as far as him actually abusing a child. So.
Is Mr. Rainford or counsel for Mr. Rainford present? Appears not. Back to the council for a motion.
To accept the recommendation of
Post. Mr. Young moves to accept the recommendation for 2-year suspension. Would that be beginning on May 23rd, 25, termination date? And seconded by Colonel Hawley. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Joctan Rivers with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office and Provo City Constables. There are no mitigating circumstances, and the aggravating circumstances are multiple offenses. Post is seeking revocation. Joctan Rivers, a post-certified corrections deputy with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, was administratively investigated for potential policy violations. He was also criminally investigated for stalking, lewdness, and official misconduct after a female inmate filed a Prison Rape Elimination Act form. The investigation discovered that Rivers communicated with the inmate both in person and through the intercom system at an unusual frequency while she was incarcerated. During Rivers' shift, he stopped at the inmate's cell and looked inside for extended periods of time when he did not look in any other cells. Upon the inmate's release from jail, Rivers abandoned his assignment to pick her up in the parking lot of the facility. The female was instructed to get into the back seat of Rivers' vehicle. Rivers took the female to his apartment where they later had sex. The female stated she had sex with Rivers because she was scared and didn't want to disobey him. Rivers communicated with the female over the phone, through text, and Facebook Messenger over the following days. Also during the following days, the female reported Rivers unexpectedly arrived at her house, which scared the female and her mother. The female reported she also saw Rivers drive past her house on two additional occasions. GPS data from Rivers' phone confirmed Rivers was in the area of the victim's residence on multiple occasions. As part of the plea deal, Rivers pled guilty to attempted stalking, a Class B misdemeanor. A criminal stalking injunction was issued by the judge. After resigning from Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, Rivers obtained employment with the Provo City Constable's Office. GPS data showed Rivers falsified his time card on two different shifts. Rivers sent a text admitting he did not perform the shifts he recorded. Rivers failed to respond to the notice of agency action on September 29th, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Rivers.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Post? And is Mr. Rivers or attorney for Mr. Rivers present? Appears not. Go back to the council for discussion or motion.
I'll make the motion.
Can I
just understand what we have the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office resignation on December 29th, and then what is this Provo City?
So he was also employed as a constable.
Yes.
Correct. We have a motion from Sheriff Curtis.
I'll make the motion that we
Follow post recommendation for revocation.
Motion for ratification from Sheriff Curtis. Seconded by
everybody.
John Crowley for the second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
Right. The next matter before the council is the certification of Sarah Robinson, a Nephi City police officer. There are no mitigating circumstances and no aggravating circumstances. Post is seeking a one-year suspension. Sarah Robinson, a police officer for Nephi City Police, was investigated by her agency for falsification of a government record. The investigation revealed that while working an ATV enforcement shift, Robinson called into her police dispatch to record 5 traffic stops on vehicles that she never stopped. Robinson was found to have intentionally telephoned in the traffic stops to avoid any potential backing officers from recording or responding and finding that she did not make the stops. During a post-Garrity interview, Robinson admitted that she made no traffic stops during the ATV shift. Robinson called the police dispatcher twice using her cell phone to report the stops. She requested the dispatcher to log the traffic stops. Robinson provided the times, locations, and descriptions of the vehicles she claimed to have stopped. By logging the traffic stops with dispatch, a dispatch log was created and an audio record of the phone call was made. On November 5th, 2025, Robinson waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Post? And is Ms. Robinson or attorney for Ms. Robinson present? If Ms. Robinson is here, would you like to address the council?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for listening to my case, and I want to apologize. I know what I did was wrong. I knew it was wrong before I did it. Before I tell you why, I want to say I know that the reason why doesn't excuse my actions. So I do know that, but I just want you to know why, because I'm ashamed that I am in this position. I was a school resource officer and had a lot of kids that looked up to me, and I'm just not happy with what I did. So I was having some pretty serious medical issues that were really painful. It had been a pretty rough year, both mentally and physically, and I was being treated for those. And that is why I made the bad decision to do that. But
thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Robinson? Thank you. To the council for discussion or motion. Sheriff Fulmer.
Motion, we accept Post's recommendation of a one-year suspension starting on 10-10 of 24.
Second. Ms. 10-10.
That's admin leave.
Is that the admin leave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she'd basically be over?
Yeah.
Do we have a second? Second from Chief Adams. For 1 year suspension, which would have been begun on 10-10 of 24, are there any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, that motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Nayeli Stalling, of South Salt Lake Police Department. There are no mitigating or aggravating circumstances, and Post is seeking a 6-month suspension. Nayeli Stalling was investigated by her agency for being dishonest in violation of the department policy. The investigation discovered that on August 20th, 2025, Stalling requested to speak with a field training officer sergeant, and she spoke with the chief of police. During those meetings, Stalling was instructed to complete her reports and then meet with her FTO to finish her shift. Stalling was left at the South Salt Lake Police Department station to complete her reports while her FTO was responding to calls. After a few hours, Stalling's FTO returned to the police station and found Stalling in her personal vehicle ready to leave. Stalling told her FTO that her reports were completed and submitted, and she was told to go home after completing the reports. Her FTO told her that she needed to complete her shift with him and later found that she had not completed the two reports. On August 21st, 2025, Stalling met with her FTO sergeant, who asked if she remembered being instructed to complete her reports and finish her shift with her FTO. Stalling said that she did remember that. Stalling said there was confusion by her FTO about whether she was to complete her shift or to go home. On August 25th, 2025, Stalling met with the South Salt Lake Police Chief and was informed she had violated Department Policy 103 and was terminated. There were no criminal charges screened. Stalling declined to interview with Post investigators. On November 10th, 2025, Stalling waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Are there any questions for Post? Is Ms. Stalling or her attorney for her present? Appears not, so back to the council for discussion or motion.
Move to accept the recommendation.
Stuart Young moves to accept the recommendation for a six-month suspension, which would begin on August 25th of 25. We have a second for the motion.
Second
from Mr. Turley. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Nathan Taylor of North Valley Police Department. There are no aggravating or mitigating circumstances, and Post is seeking a revocation. Nathan Taylor was investigated by his agency and a local police agency for misuse of public funds and theft. The investigation revealed that between March 18, 2024 and May 22nd, 2025, Taylor had multiple instances where he was being compensated by both the Mount Pleasant Police Department and the Children's Justice Center simultaneously. Investigators also found numerous time cards that Taylor documented he worked more hours than his dispatch log shows. Taylor was terminated and charged criminally with two second-degree felonies. During a Garrity interview with his department, Taylor was shown evidence of him being compensated by Mount Pleasant Police Department and the Children's Justice Center at the same time. Taylor stated it would appear so, or he could not remember. Taylor then stated that the problem is he gets so focused on his investigations that he cannot do anything else. Taylor did not participate in the post-investigation. On November 17, 2025, Taylor waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Are there any questions for Post? Mr. Jensen, you representing Mr. Taylor, and is Nathan Taylor present?
Well, I'll try this again. I blame my diverted attention on my last client, Sergeant Boyd's mustache. With that, no, Mr. Taylor is not here. I have nothing on his behalf. Thank you.
Thank you. To the council.
Is the case still pending?
It's not.
Say, we've had some of these in the past. How does this case compare? I don't remember how many of them went for revocation.
I think it's the amount.
Is it the amount?
It's the revocation.
Yeah, because it was a felony level charge is why it was revoked.
So I don't recall any similar time card issues that reached the felony level. We may have had some. I don't recall. So discussion or motion from the council?
I'll make a motion that we accept Post's recommendation for revocation.
Swanson, accept Post's recommendation for revocation. Do we have a second?
Second.
Sheriff Curtis, do we have any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Jordan Thompson, and they are present. Jordan Thompson is employed by the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office. Post is seeking 6 months, and there are no aggravating or mitigating circumstances. Jordan Thompson, a post-certified corrections deputy with the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, was administratively investigated for engaging in sexual conduct while on duty with a subordinate employee. His agency found that he did not engage in sexual conduct, but that he did engage in inappropriate behavior. Thompson was subsequently demoted, and he lost a pay raise. During post-investigation, Thompson admitted to soliciting a sexual image via TikTok from his subordinate while at work. On September 29, 2025, Thompson waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action. As a note, there's a red question mark under cooperation. That's my error. It should say that he was cooperative.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Post? So John Crowley is recusing himself. We do have a letter in this case that you should have with your materials from Sheriff Tucker. And it appears that Mr. Thompson and an attorney for Mr. Thompson are present. And we take a moment to review the letter while the attorneys are conversing. Mr. Thompson, or counsel, would you like to address the body?
Yes, if we could. Counsel, Lindsay Jarvis on behalf of Deputy Thompson, who obviously is present. Also, I wanted to let you know that the sheriff and the chief deputy are also present here. The reason that we were hoping to address post-counsel on this particular issue is because there are a number of mitigating circumstances in this particular case. So, this case investigated from the female cadet who was attending post that was accused of committing multiple acts of sexual, multiple counts of sex on duty. So she was investigated, and as a result of that investigation, she had mentioned that she had engaged in some light flirting with Deputy Thompson. And so upon learning that, Deputy Thompson went to his captain and told him that a year prior to that, that they had engaged in texting communications with one another. And so at that point, there was an interview that was done, an investigative interview. During that, there was the discussion of these different messages that had gone out. Mr. Thompson said that he believed that there could have possibly been something, but he wasn't sure because the nature of the employees at the jail at that time, they were forwarding tons and tons of messages. And so the sheriff's office at that time determined that what had occurred appeared to be horseplay. Later, Post did an investigation on this one, and while nobody could find the text message in question, what it was is Deputy Thompson admitted that he had forwarded a TikTok meme that had essentially a sexual innuendo in it. And so that is the basis for what the discipline is here. At the time of the offense, Deputy Thompson was actually a sergeant at the jail. And so because of this, he was actually demoted. In addition to the demotion, because of his unique set of circumstances at the jail, he is entrusted to oversee all of the computer programs there. And so the sheriff's office took this incredibly serious, believing that because he's entrusted with so much that they needed to do something to get his attention. So in addition to the demotion, they also precluded him from obtaining the 5% the $5 an hour raise that he was entitled to. And then he also missed out on the 3.5% raise that he was getting. At that time, he was also being considered for a lieutenant position over operations at the jail. And so obviously he was taken off of that as well. And so the sheriff's office, based upon those significant consequences, they obviously kept him. He's been working ever since. But my understanding and what's been expressed to me is that a significant suspension, in this one, the 6-month suspension, could potentially result in harm not only to obviously to Deputy Thompson, but also to the sheriff's office, given the fact that they would have to retrain and put somebody else into that position. And so there's that request in consideration as well. Also, at the last post-council, there was some discussion about an individual who voluntarily reported his conduct, and to some extent that's what happened here. Once Deputy Thompson learned that this woman had made, that the other deputy had said that she'd engaged in light flirting with him, at that point that's when Deputy Thompson went to his captain and said, look, there's text messages in the past, but there was that was the extent of it. And so he was cooperative. He was very cooperative, both with Post and with his agency. In fact, with Post, they reached out to him, and within an hour, he called them back and scheduled the interview and did it that day without having any advice of counsel, and just moving forward with the process to get it taken care of. So for those reasons, we're asking Post counsel to consider going down, doing a downward deviation on this one, whether that be a letter of caution or a 3-month suspension, understanding obviously the consequences that he's faced on this one, in addition to the potential harm that it could cause for the sheriff's office.
Any questions for Mr. Thompson's attorney or Mr. Thompson? Okay, back to the council then for discussion or motion.
Before they do that, can Mr. Thompson?
Absolutely. Sorry. Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you. I want to begin by taking full responsibility for my actions and sincerely apologizing for the impact they have had. What I did was not right, and I recognize that my judgment fell short of the standards expected. It was never my intention to cause disruption, disappointment, or to compromise the integrity of the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office or Post. This experience has prompted deep self-reflection. Over the past 12 months, I have taken a hard look at myself, both as a person and as a corrections officer. I have examined my achievements as well as my shortcomings, and through that process, I have learned difficult but valuable lessons. I recognize that I lacked in areas of leadership and personal judgment, and I have accepted the consequences of those failures, including my demotion and the various professional setbacks and hardships that have followed. At the same time, I've reflected on the positive contributions I've made during my 8 years with the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office, and I have come to see that I am an asset to my department, someone capable of growth, humility, and renewed commitment. This year has tested me profoundly. I questioned whether this career was worth fighting for, and I've realized that the answer is yes. I love this profession and remain deeply committed to serving with integrity and dedication. My department has shown strong support, providing letters on my behalf. Their presence here today expresses their intention to retain me, and I am deeply grateful for that confidence. I'm committed to earning back the full trust of my peers, supervisors, and this council through consistent performance and conduct. I accept full accountability for my actions and continue to work hard as a key member of the Duchesne County Jail. I approach each day with humility and determination to rebuild trust and prove my worth through proper effort and professionalism. I stand before you today humbled by my mistakes, but strengthened by what I've learned, fully committed to ensuring my future conduct reflects the highest standards of respect, diligence, and integrity. Thank you for your time, your consideration, and your understanding.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Are there any questions from the council for Mr. Thompson? Miley Lou?
Is this co-worker still present on site that this happened with?
No.
I believe she was terminated by the agency as well.
Further discussion? Not looking for a motion.
Just a question. It says that he possibly solicited a sexual image from a coworker, and I heard that you sent a sexual meme. So.
So what the message was is it was a TikTok video that was forwarded. As I mentioned, everybody was forwarding messages. The one that he was referring to that he remembered was a text message, the video, and what it had was somebody making a three-point shot basketball, and it says, if it goes in, then you should send me a photo, a nude photo. And so while he didn't ask directly, obviously it was something that had the innuendo of something more. And so that's where the solicitation part came from. No photos were sent in response to that. That's where Deputy Thompson came forward and said, this is what happened. But obviously there were no photos that were sent in response. When she was asked about this, she said that she didn't even remember the text message, but she did say that had somebody asked her for a photo, she would have sent something. And to answer your question, she has come before the council and was also disciplined for the acts that took place at Post, or at the academy, excuse me.
Those acts didn't involve this case, though.
No, this one was it came up in the process of her investigation.
Okay, looking for a motion.
She's also made a motion, and make this motion in light of a case that we saw, was either the last one or one before, where there was actual sexual image sent during a briefing or something, opening the agency. But because it was just a picture and it was a one-time thing, we gave a letter of caution to that person. And also based on the fact that Sheriff Tucker's here and is here in support, which, I mean, it's not very often that a head of the department will come in here in support of that. I'm going to make the motion for a letter of caution.
We have a motion from Chief Swanson to
reject Post recommendation of 6-month suspension and instead issue a letter of caution.
We have a second from Jeanette Williams. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes for a letter of caution.
Thank you to the council. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Caleb Wilkinson of the Utah Department of Corrections. Mitigating circumstances are that it was a self-report and Post is recommending a letter of caution. On May 28, 2025, Caleb Wilkinson, a correctional officer with the Utah Department of Corrections and a cadet at the Utah Department of Corrections Academy, improperly discharged a dangerous weapon inside of his apartment. Wilkinson attempted to dry fire his handgun against the wall of his apartment. Wilkinson had failed to unload his handgun and unintentionally fired a single round. The round penetrated the wall and the bullet entered an occupied adjacent apartment. No one was injured. Wilkinson checked on his neighbor's welfare, contacted the local police, cooperated with the investigation, and promptly notified his academy supervisor. Wilkinson entered into a plea agreement for the improper discharge of a dangerous weapon, a misdemeanor B. On October 7, 2025, Wilkinson waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Post? Appears Mr. Wilkinson is present. Would you like to address the council?
Yes, sir. I just came in today because I was asked to. I want to say thank you for reviewing my case and what I did was wrong, and after the many years of handling and using firearms, this was one of my biggest mistakes that I've ever made, and I just hope that it can stay a mistake and I can learn from it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Wilkinson? Okay, we come back to the council for a motion or discussion. Sheriff Wimmer.
Happy to make the motion to accept Post's recommendation of a letter of caution. I commend him for coming forward with it, because my guess is this happens unbeknownst to many of us throughout the year, throughout all of us agencies, that we're constantly downloading our weapons and uploading our weapons, and the fact that his situation was one where it disrupted the neighbors, but I would imagine that it's commendable he came forward. So I'm happy to make that motion.
Mr. Turley is recusing himself in this case. So we do have a motion on the table for accepting Post's recommendation for a letter of caution. Do we have a second from Mr. Young? Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Lo Si Yi. She is a dispatcher with Salt Lake City. There are no mitigating circumstances, and the aggravating circumstances are multiple offenses. Post is seeking a year and a half suspension. Lo Si Yi, a certified dispatcher with the Salt Lake City Police Dispatch, or Salt Lake City Dispatch, was criminally investigated for intoxication and property damage. The investigation found she was intoxicated and damaged another person's cell phone and collectible action figures. Yi was arrested and booked into jail. The case was criminally prosecuted. As part of a plea in abeyance, the property damage charge was dismissed. Yi pleaded no contest to the intoxication charge and was convicted. During a post-Garrity interview, Yi admitted to consuming a lot of vodka. Yi admitted to smashing a cell phone and that it did not belong to her on the ground, or smashing a cell phone that did not belong to her on the ground. Yi also admitted to damaging the same person's action figures. On November 12, 2025, Yi waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Post?
What were the collectible action figures?
They were Nintendo characters.
Appears Ms. Yi is present. Would you like to address the council?
I'm not sure what to say other than I am very ashamed and embarrassed for my company, but mostly my family. This has never happened to me before. And while it is a bad situation, it did in some way, it's more positive for me and my husband in that it shed light in things that needed to change between the two of us and that we needed therapy for things that were going on at the time of the situation. I'm taking full responsibility for what happened and accountability, so I'm not disputing anything.
Thank you. I do have a question either for Post or Ms. Yi. Was this a domestic violence situation?
It was, but it was not charged as such.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Ms. Yi? Okay, back to the council for discussion or motion.
Just one question, Chair. It says she's still employed. Did Salt Lake City take any internal action? Do we know?
She is still employed. They did not take any action.
And she is employed as a dispatcher.
Any other questions, or would anyone like to make a motion?
Yes, we just had the DV property damage case that did not involve intoxication, but did involve multiple occasions throughout the year, and the recommendation was 2 years. Then why is this a 1.5?
My understanding is the other DV had multiple occasions.
There's no additional questions. We'll be looking for a motion from the council. Post recommendation is for a 1.5 year suspension. Since the person is still employed, that suspension would begin today.
make a motion to accept the post counsel's recommendation.
So John Crowley makes a motion to accept post recommendation for a 1.5 year suspension.
1.5 year due to the two counts.
Due to the two counts, beginning that suspension would begin today.
Begin today.
And we have a second from David Peterson. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council.
Just before you start, sir, I have in the next matter before the council, I've previously recused myself. I believe Chief Swanson is going to recuse himself as well in this case. And I have asked Sheriff Curtis to temporarily chair the council for this matter.
How's that? Thank you, Sheriff.
This is the reconsideration of the suspension of Mr. Young from the last post counsel. At that time, the suspension for Mr. Young was to begin on July 1st, 2025, his resignation date. He was actually placed on administrative leave on March 31st, 2025, and Mr. Young is seeking your reconsideration that his suspension date be moved to March 31st, 2025, when he was placed on administrative leave.
How long did we give?
It was 1 year.
Yes, is there any other discussion on it? Any other questions? Is he here? Mr. Young? Other questions, suggestions, motions?
Is this any different than decisions we've made previously and have been placed on leave?
Were we able to confirm that indeed he was put on admin leave on that date?
He was, yes.
And the only reason why we made the decision was that was the only information we had at the time?
Post didn't mention it. His attorney failed to mention it. The council just picked the date of his termination, and there were some discussion back and forth on who should have mentioned his administrative date, but that's what happened.
If the administration date had been mentioned, we would have done the thing on the paid admin leave. So it's just it's fine. It's a miss. So. Do we have other things?
Any other
recommendation?
Well, sir, make the motion, and we'll go from there.
I would recommend to change the date to the March 31st date, to change the date of the 1 year suspension to the March 31st date.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second his recommendation as a motion. I'm taking his recommendation as a motion.
Sorry, that's a motion. Not a recommendation. Thank you.
We got you. All right, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Sheriff Curtis. That concludes all the disciplinary matters. We have one more item on the agenda. That's a post-staffing discussion. Director Reese.
Thank you, Sheriff. I'm excited for him, but I'm sad to announce that Captain Christian Newland has taken a position as the new comms director for UHP. Thanks a lot, Colonel.
Sorry.
Also, I'd like to welcome Colonel Hawley. It's effective immediately. To add to the three jobs he was already doing, he's now going to be doing four for a minute. I just want to thank Christian that he's been an amazing partner. If you look at a lot of the progress we've made, Christian deserves a lot of credit for that. I was just looking down. If you look at your list of cases and you look at those dates on those cases and when we got them, some of them have been close to since the last council meeting. And him and his team, his leadership has helped, you know, sharpen the tip of our spear here at Post. And it'd been very difficult to do without him. I think I know the whole team is missing him already. So I want to thank Christian. It's been amazing. And I'm still going to call and pick that amazing brain of yours. Having said that, so also we're juggling positions around with our budget issues at Post, and we've been holding the investigations lieutenant position open, and I now have authorization to fill that. We want to do a similar process that we did with the basic training captain, and I was hoping to get one sheriff and one chief and one non-sworn member of the council to sit on our hiring board to help us do a selection. I don't have a date yet. I'm assuming I could count on all of you if I reach out with a date. If anyone does not want to be involved, that might be easier. It's going to be moving fast. Actually, I hope to have the announcement out by the end of today. And we're going to keep it pretty short, just long enough to get a good pool of candidates. I'll forward the announcement out to you all. If you will help us recruit, I want to have a good competitive list to select from. We also have some very competitive in-house candidates, and I think we'll compete well. But that's our plan moving forward. We are in the middle of with our budget issues. We're in the middle of an internal audit, and we don't plan on filling the deputy director position right away until we see the results of that audit and we can make some strategic decisions with our budget. So it will be open for a little bit, and we know that's an important position that it will be filled.
Yes.
Any questions? Thank you, Director Reese. A lot of moving parts. Thanks for all you do. And I want to add my thanks for Christian Newland. Done a remarkable job. I have some idea of how hard that job is. So you've been amazing, and I appreciate it. I know the whole council appreciates it. So thank you. Final matter of business is selecting a date for our next meeting. Generally, we meet in March. So I'm going to start the discussion with throwing out March 18th, which is a Wednesday.
See one thumbs up.
March 18th. Does that work for everyone? Work for Post. March 18th, 10 a.m. Any further matters that any council member would like to bring forward or discuss? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
We are adjourned.
And we do have lunch. Post has provided lunch, so please collect a lunch. And again, thank you all.